because we haven't done that in the last 10 years in the transportation department for some reason. And that's why I want to hold people accountable for what they're saying and have an incentive there to try to push that through. And if they don't, you don't get reelected, Mr. Novick.
Lighting, I appreciate your thoughtful comments as always. You're right. I am the transportation commissioner, so yeah. I have more responsibility than the mayor. I also cannot resist saying that we're hearing from Lightning an hour after we heard from Thunder, and I think this is further evidence of climate disruption.
Well, I do like Terry Emmert's name of Thunder also. So
Lightning, can I just jump in for one sec? Because I'm confused now about an important detail, so I'll turn to the commissioner in charge. Under the proposal before the council currently, when is the earliest point in which a taxpayer could is either required to make a payment or voluntarily could make a payment?
I'm required to make a payment is April 15th, 2016. However, revenue is going to work assiduously to try to set something up so that people can make earlier payments as quickly as possible.
Sort of like withholding.
Right.
And when is the earliest that would trigger?
Thomas, what's your best guess?
Thomas, why don't you come to the mic so that...
Thank you all very much. Give Thomas a chance to follow up here.
I'm sticking here for 1 second, if I can make one quick comment on this.
Quick. Go ahead.
So briefly, it will take some time to get the IT infrastructure up so that we can accept payments and properly credit them to accounts. That said, we may be able to take voluntary payments in the third quarter of 2015, so those would be prepayments to the April 15th of 2016 due date. In terms of employer withholding, there's two ways that we could go, voluntary or mandatory. So we want to take a look at that. We did do employer withholding for the Multnomah County ITAX back in 2003, 4, and 5, I think actually just the latter year or two. So we would be looking at that, but I'm not prepared to tell you today exactly when we would have withholding up and running.
Okay, but the tax year would start when?
The tax year would be January 1st of 2015.
If the council acts this calendar year.
That's correct. So the tax year is...
It would be due on April of 2016, and there may be either a voluntary or mandatory withholding requirement to be discussed. But there certainly would be a voluntary payment program, like anyone who wants to prepay their arts tax or anything else can do that, correct?
That's absolutely correct. As to mandatory, I don't see mandatory for tax year 2015, maybe 2016 or 2017. We really would want to look at the impacts of that, businesses, to make sure that we're coordinating that activity and doing it in a way that's not excessively impactful.
But given that Commissioner Novick has previously talked about the deductibility of some of the taxes we're talking about here, don't you anticipate that a lot of people, if required to make this payment, would want to be able to choose the tax year they make the payment so they can then determine for themselves how they get the tax benefit?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. But so we're going to move as rapidly as possible to bring this up. But I can't tell you today when we would absolutely be able to take a payment. It could be the fourth quarter of 2015.
One sentence to respond to Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Fritz. If we took one of the alternatives, the revenue stream occurs years earlier. The gas tax does not require the massive implementation process. And the recovery rate will be much higher. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, let's take the next three, please.
Are Eric Fruits, Joe Walsh, and Charles Johnson. You're last.
Go ahead, Mr. Fruits. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Eric Fruits. I'm a small business owner, homeowner. Sit on two boards of nonprofits here in the city. But I'm speaking for myself as a crazy dude who runs the NoStreetFee.com website. Well, let's start off. I had some prepared remarks, but there's been so many changes in the past couple hours that I had to throw them out the window. So first on the sunset, I love sunsets, they're beautiful, but we got to be careful. If you've ever driven out to the Oregon coast on a Friday evening, you know that sunsets are dangerous because they take your eyes off of the other dangers on the road. And despite the sunset that we have here, this is still a very, very flawed measure. One of the other amendments that has been in here that but has been really discussed much is the Oversight Committee. I know Mr. Rogers mentioned it, but there's, I think, a small technical issue that we should look at on the oversight. And that is that, as my understanding of how the oversight provision is written, it is only providing oversight on the spending side. And I think that there's a lot of opportunities for mischief and problems on the collection side of these two new taxes. And so I would urge you to tweak that language, at least on the oversight, to make sure that there is some oversight on the collections. And when we talk about collections, we're talking about, you know, assessment. How is it assessed? And Mr. McCullough really flagged some big problems on how it's assessed. How is it collected? And how is it enforced? Are people going to go to jail? Will it go to collections? How will we enforce the collections of this tax? I'm a small business owner, and I have probably generated more trips talking about this street fee than I have in 8 years of operating my business out of the smallest, darkest corner of my basement. And so I certainly hope that as we rejigger the street fee that we tax government activities a lot heavier than mine. I have actually generated exactly zero customers at my business because I can do everything by teleconferencing. On the business side, I've had some real concerns about the business side of the tax, and I was 99% certain that it was a big problem. Today, I am now convinced that I am 100% certain that there is a huge, huge problem on the non-residential side. Commissioner Novick said, and I quote, "We do not have a trip-based mechanism on the business side. That means that what we have now is essentially a property tax that will fall under the property tax limitations." I suggest that you talk to the city attorney about that. When you have a mechanism that is no longer based on any notion of trip generation, you now have something that could be considered a property tax, and that can cause some big problems down the line. Another thing, I know that Mayor Hales loves to talk about his three options, and I've said over and over that there are other things we can do. One thing that I've suggested over and over again is that we tap PDC. We have a 30% set aside for affordable housing from the Portland Development Commission. Portland Development Commission is sitting on about $100 million of money that it can use for developer and real estate subsidies. Why don't we have a 30% set aside for roads in urban renewal areas? About half the projects are in urban renewal areas. I think that we can. That is money that can be tapped and can make a serious dent in the road paving problems without increasing taxes. One last thing for Commissioner Fish, I really appreciate you reaching out, and believe me, I have actually thought about this nonstop, and I have an idea on dealing with the gas tax. Your issue was the gas tax is regressive, and I agree with you. It's not based on income, although you may drive less if you have lower income, but still, it hit me. Almost, we've got about 20 to 25% of the population that carries an Oregon Trail card. That's what we used to call food stamps. And I also have the Fred Meyer card that I could stick in the pump. And I thought, well, if there's a way that we can work with the state and the feds to use that Oregon Trail card to stick it in the gas pump to provide a credit against the gas tax, that might be a way of dealing with that regressivity. Now, I know under the federal law you can't use your SNAP card to actually buy gas, but I don't think there's any prohibition on using that card to obtain a credit. For example, RAC, the Regional Arts and Council Commission, has a program of offering $5 theater tickets. And the way that you can get those $5 theater tickets is by simply showing your Oregon Trail card. And so I think there is a way that we can do this. I don't know about technologically whether it's feasible, but I think we can at least start the conversation on that.
Mr. Fruits, can I just get clarification on your urban renewal proposal? I want to be very clear that you're not suggesting that any portion of the 30% set aside for housing would be dedicated to roads. You're saying it's 30% of the 70%?
I'm not even saying 30%. I'm saying that we have a set aside for affordable housing. It's 30%. And we should have a similar, I don't know what the number is, but a similar set aside for streets and roads within urban renewal areas.
But because we spend a lot of time defending the 30% set aside for housing, you're suggesting...
I don't want to take your money.
Not my money. The money goes right out the door to support low-income families, veterans, and homeless people. But I just want to be clear that you're suggesting to us that we take some portion of the 70% that is not allocated for housing and consider investing that in infrastructure.
Well, that's correct, Commissioner Fish. And if you look out there, we've heard Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick give testimony here in council about how blighted roads and road improvements are a key component of urban renewal. And so I think we have agreement among city council that road improvements are urban renewal. And I think there's absolutely no reason why PDC should not be in this room with its wallet ready to provide some support for the streets and roads within those urban renewal areas.
So to be clear, that's a large amount of the money from urban renewal areas does go into roads.
Well, there's over $100 million in subsidy money that's sitting out there. We've spent $1 million to subsidize a microbrewery in a place where we had a failed bakery.
Come on back this afternoon when we're going to be discussing urban renewal districts.
I got to work.
It would be interesting to...
I got to generate some trips.
Well, I will ask the question then as to what proportion of current urban renewal district funding goes to transportation, but my experience has been a lot of it does.
Yeah, we'll check on that, but a couple clarifications, Eric. One, by state law, only 15% of the land area of the city of Portland can be in urban renewal districts. As a matter of fact, your neighborhood and my neighborhood are not in urban renewal districts.
Don't remind me.
So we cannot spend urban renewal money outside of those districts. I think you know that.
Well, I understand that.
Secondly,
but if you look at the project list, half the projects are in urban renewal areas.
Right. Well, actually, secondly, the state law also restricts the use of those urban renewal funds for capital expenditures, not maintenance. We can spend urban renewal money on new streets in urban renewal districts or on major street improvements in urban renewal districts like the ones on Foster Road.
Oh, exactly.
In the Lentz urban renewal district or the new streets that were built in the Pearl District or the South Waterfront by urban renewal money. We can do that, and as Commissioner Fritz just noted, we'll ask what percentage of those revenues are going to...
Well, I'm not saying we should cover all of it, but I think that that's a serious... That it can make a big dent, and I think what happens is the council gets hung up on this idea that if we don't have a proposal that raises all $46 million, then forget it, it's a dumb idea. What I'm saying is that we need to have... We talked about a cocktail a long time ago. I think a big part of the cocktail, perhaps the vodka in the cocktail, could be urban renewal money. There was a long talk. I remember Fred Miller talked about transferring the streetcar operations out of Piedmont and putting in the general fund. That's gone. I don't know what happened to that discussion.
Gone. No, it's not gone. It's a good idea. So we'll check on that number because it's a fair question. And what are we doing now and how much more could we do with urban renewal money that's available in those districts?
The council and they love to spend money.
Well, the council's taking action this afternoon on a package of proposals that actually reduce the number of urban renewal districts by 2 and put $1 billion of value that used to go into PDC's budget into the general revenue stream.
You're shaking loose the pockets and the change is coming out, and some of that change should end up on our roads.
Well, some of it probably will, but it's going back into the general funds of the city, the county, and the school district. Not much publicized, but it's the biggest change in urban renewal in 25 years.
And I appreciate that. I think it's a very good idea. And when you first proposed it, I said, wow, he's doing something right. And then you did the street fee.
Win some, lose some. Thank you.
Well, I've been a loser more than a winner, believe me.
Let's be clear. Let's make sure we like ideas, but let's put numbers on them. The total value of the urban renewal money that comes back to the city over the next 16 years under the changes we're going to contemplate is about $16 million.
Right.
So
it's
just to start.
1.6. So over the next 16 years, it's a little under $1 million a year. Doesn't really make much of a dent in the problem, but might be part of the cocktail you're talking about.
Well, that's right. And I think there's always opportunities. And, does the Pearl District really need an urban renewal area anymore?
Oh, we're taking 40% of it out. I think you've made a very good suggestion. Yeah. We'll check on the numbers. It might be more like the vermouth rather than the vodka. But
or
we'll
the
check.
Sniff of vermouth, right? But whatever. But I think, part of it is the idea of a cocktail and that we can piece together something that I think avoids having to raise taxes.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh?
That was great. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We take the position, even though Commissioner Fritz cringes on this, is that what we want you to do is come with the package and then put it to the voters. So we see your job as doing all of this and getting all this great information that happened today. But it bothers us that you seem to be rushing all the time to do these things. And all of a sudden, 1 week before the vote, and I guess it's going to be postponed again. You have a really interesting idea about the development and how to look at that, and could we get the money, and maybe we could get the money, and you would have to look at that. So our position is that you're rushing this, you're going to do a vote, and God help you if it goes down 3-2, and you take $40 million away from the people of Portland. There's only so much money in the pot, folks, and if you keep taking it, it's going to be empty. And the voters have a right to say yes or no. And we think that we pay you to come with a package and say, Mr. Walsh, how do you like this? Yes or no? And I say yes or no. That's the way democracy works. But Commissioner Novick is afraid of that. And a mayor, you're afraid of that. That's not democracy. I don't know what that is. It's elitism, at very least, that you guys know better than 60,000 people in the city. You, if you don't put this to a public vote and it goes down 3-2, or if you seduce the other two commissioners and you get everybody on board, and this thing goes south, I'm going to have to learn the names of all the new commissioners and the mayor. Because this is a lot of money that you're taking. $47 million, a lot of money. I could have a great time in Vegas for at least a weekend on that. So I'm saying democracy demands that you give it to the voters. And you do the package. Amanda, what I'm suggesting is not just, well, just vote on it. I'm saying you guys work to get the package together and put it before us. That's your job.
Thank you. Charles, welcome.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, Charles Johnson. And I'm not such a hardcore opponent of the street fee, but I very much appreciate the gentleman's remarks and the way they were presented. As Mr. Walsh's remarks about democracy and the way this is working, of course, the biggest problem we have with taxes as taxpayers is probably that we don't have direct democracy controlling our federal taxes. But so when you, as quasi-legislatures, executive blend, however the word that works in city government, do this, it's not certainly without precedent. Usually we don't get direct democracy on taxes. In Oregon, we do a little bit better about that. And the reason we're actually having this anxiousness about this tax and had the anxiety and drama about the arts tax is because, to some extent, you're not calling for enough accountability from the taxpayers. Us taxpayers are willingly sending gobs of money to Egypt and to Israel for violence or to bribe them into quasi-peace, and we don't complain about that. But when it comes time to fix the pothole, all of a sudden we want to put some kind of armor around our own wallet. So whether you make this street fee work or not, I encourage you to talk about the broader justice picture this applies to, and that we as citizens need to get reengaged through this process, maintain our streets, and put our money into building our communities and not financing a military-industrial complex that always makes itself tax-exempt. I don't know. You know, we're unfortunate that we don't have a big Boeing presence here that we can look to kind of recoup some of that money. And I don't really want us to get into the drone business, but we need to pay our own way. And the real reason this might be painful for some households is because we, both you over there and us as citizens, have not stepped up and put the pressure on the federal government to not just rely on the gas tax to keep our streets in order. So I look forward to continued dialogue between the citizens and us to get the streets in good working order so we can have strong local economies and keep less of that money from leaving Oregon and going through Washington. A lot of it comes back in block grants that we approve here, but that's not really the way it should happen. We don't really have accountability and good citizen involvement when so much money goes through the federal budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Good point. Thanks very much. Next three, please.
The last two who signed up are Woody Broadnax and Barry Sutton.
Okay, come on up.
Okay.
Go ahead, Barry.
Hello, Mayor Hales. Barry Sutton, and I'm homeless. And I've been here a number of times wanting to talk about the three blocks in back.
But we want you to talk about this issue today, if you could. So I know you've got an interest in that property, and we're working on that. But we're talking about this, just the street fund issue today.
Oh, no, this isn't for the street fund.
Well, you need to just testify on that. So you need to talk with us at another time about the
But I need to talk with you because the cold weather is setting in, and
we know
people
that.
Need
we know
a
that,
place for shelter. This would be a very good place for an encampment for all of the homeless people.
We are looking at that question. In
fact, but no one is talking with me directly about it. This is what I ask right here of you, Mayor Hales and Mayor and Commissioner Fritz, if I could talk with you directly about this. This has worked out before at St. Patrick's Church.
We know.
And
let's talk,
now the city
owns after one. Council. Okay.
May I talk with may I get a time to talk with
just
you?
Just after the meeting's over. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Good morning, Commissioners. I am Mayor. I have listened to a lot of what's been said this morning. And I want to appeal to humanity in each and every one of you. I'm talking about the humanity of each and every one of you. When I hear from the very offset of this, a commissioner come out, as Navik did, and said, we may lose our jobs behind us, and speaking about the mayor and his position, it sets up a signal to me that says that this is not correct. And it leads and feels oppressive. We look at what's going on around the United States of America. Oppression has become a fad. And that oppression is based on the fact that people are subjected to not have the ability to vote, not have the ability to completely receive all the information necessary in order to make a decisive vote. I think that when we move to the point where the mayor doesn't have to allow the people to vote, and then we move to a level of oppression. We have fought oppression all of our lives as a member of the African-American community from the civil rights struggle to today. And today we are looking at another oppressive issue, because this is not only going to affect the grassroots people, but what you're looking at in Northeast Portland is a redesign of San Francisco. If you're making $150,000 to $200,000 in San Francisco, you have to be subsidized. There are people there that are on Section 8. You're talking about 2021, 2015, 2016. It goes up. It's a progressive tax. It goes up. It pushes people out of this community. And what I'm saying is that this board, the humanity in this board, has to be one that is not built on oppressing people. Now, I know each and every one of you are good people. I don't have a doubt in my mind. But I know business as usual, and business as usual can kill off any type of productive effort we have to move forward. We're sitting here consistently talking about this and talking about that and playing chess games with conversations and shell games where we're coming up with this amount of money and that of money to get you to buy into it. And I'm talking and appealing to the humanity in Ms. Fritz and the humanity in Mr. Fish. Don't be swayed. Stand your ground. Don't buy into this and sit back and go into closed rooms and come up with deals. You give me this, I give you that. No, that is not the process. That is oppression, and it is secretive, and it is not right. And we are looking at you. We're looking at you with a heart. We are suffering as a community. We're suffering with the streets. There are ideas that you have in your heads and that you've listened to all of these people come up with suggestions that will allow us to be able to move beyond this point and deal with the non-oppressive issue of just saying, we're going to have a street tax. We're not going to have a vote. That's not the American way. It is not how you got in office. And it is not how you will sustain yourselves while you are in office, as the gentleman said. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, no one else signed up? Okay, then we have the amendments in front of us. I think all we need to do at this point is continue to next week, right, because we don't have to take final action on those amendments. So we will continue these two ordinances until next week.
Well, Mayor, can I just...
Right?
I think it's valid.
If I got that wrong, do we have to take action on these amendments?
Well, if you want them to be in place, if you want...
We did.
You moved them, but you've not voted on the question.
Okay.
Is whether you wanted to vote on those amendments before next week.
So we can adopt those amendments, put them into the ordinance. That's the amended ordinance that comes back next week. Okay, then I'll take a motion to adopt those amendments.
We already did that.
I thought we did, but we can do it again.
You just have to call the roll.
Okay, so roll call on the previous motion. Sorry.
Novick?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, so those amendments are adopted, and this is continued for 1 week. Thank you very much.
So, Mayor, can I just address that for a second? Because this is I'm losing track of how many hearings we've had. They're all excellent hearings. By continuing it next week, what we're saying is to all the people that have been joining us and testifying at each of these, come next week, but we're not telling them that we intend to do anything next week. And I think at a certain point, we have to be more respectful of people's time.
What would you suggest?
It goes back to the question I asked earlier, which is, when do you intend to bring a package to council for vote? Because if we're continuing it and simply announcing that we're continuing it again, we're at risk of inconveniencing people and also doing some violence to our agenda. So is next week going to be a vote on something, or is next week going to be a placeholder to decide to postpone for another day?
Well, Commissioner, speak to that. But I think the plan is to either take up another amendment or not, right?
I think that we are going to take up an amendment on the issue of micro-businesses. So that means that we would not have a vote next week, on the business side at least.
And that's because we can't take action on something unless it's an emergency ordinance and act on it the same day.
I understand.
Day.
So
right.
I anticipate that we'll have a final vote on the 17th.
You intend to bring a package to council for vote on the 17th?
Not a package, a single amendment to what's already in front of us, right?
No, I'm
based on the fact that we'll have amendments, at least one amendment next week, I anticipate that we have a final vote on the 17th.
Final vote on this package?
Yes.
And
next amendment next week?
Next week you would be presenting at least one more amendment to the issue you've described about the anomaly with the business side. And Commissioner Novick, again, just doing a little time agenda management and time management. Is it your intention to post that amendment prior to the hearing so people can decide whether it's something they choose to come testify about?
Yes.
So sometime by early
I hope
next
that,
week.
Well, you and I have to have a conversation about it, actually.
So I'm going to clear my afternoon. No, we have another hearing.
I would say, I mean, no later than Monday, and I would hope we can have something on Friday.
And it may go to Monday to get it right, so I'm not trying to pin you down. But you would then post that so people could see whether it's something they want to come and testify.
Exactly.
And, Mayor, the hearing would be limited to that amendment?
To that amendment, please. Yes.
Specifically?
Yes.
We're not opening up the whole package for next week.
Nope.
And then it's your intention to have a vote on the entire package on the 17th?
Second reading.
No, that's not what I asked Commissioner Novick. What comes to council on the 17th?
That is that my intention would be to have a vote on both ordinances on the 17th.
And that will be a time certain, or just in the regular order of how it's filed?
Yeah, we've got about 20 times certain on the 17th.
I think it's in the regular calendar because it's the second reading.
Yeah. Right. No, 17th, I'm bringing my sleeping bag and toothbrush on the 17th. But
And for just about every other meeting this month, yes.
Thank you.
And I would like to just flag another issue that I've asked Commissioner Novick to look into, and he's doing so. One of the issues that was raised in testimony on the residential side was the fact that if it's within the brackets, there's some disparity in terms of a fixed amount. So from the bottom of the bracket to the top of the bracket, there's a different percentage allocation, which goes against our desire to make it progressive. So what I've asked Commissioner Novick to do is to look into percentages rather than a fixed dollar amount, still at the same approximate levels. And so he's and his staff are continuing to work on that, so it's possible that there may be an amendment on that next week.
So I'm puzzled how, and I'm looking at our city attorney, although I can't see her, how could we do amendments next week and a final vote?
No, the final vote was the week after 17th. Next week's the 10th.
Oh, I was off a week. Okay.
Yeah.
10th. Still have the 10th. Okay.
rushing the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the plan. We will come back and consider amendments next week if they're filed and timely, and then we'll have a final vote on the 17th. Thanks very much. Okay, let's move on.